Today on Wings, Instant Divorce by Muslim Men in India, Unconstitutional but Still Contentious.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
In India, a 1939 law lists 12 reasons a Muslim wife may give for divorcing her husband. But a Muslim husband can divorce his wife for no reason at all. As of August 2017, however, he may no longer do it instantly. The ruling by India's Supreme Court touched off a three-way struggle among traditional religious authorities, politicians, and women. Kalpana Pradhan reports.
More than hundreds of years, Muslim men in India could divorce their wives by repeating the word talak thrice in one instance. In Arabic, talak means divorce. On August 2017 decision, a five-judge panel said in a 3-2 judgment that the practice violated women's rights to equality and did not provide an opportunity for reconciliation. Their decision came in response to a series of petitions challenging the practice. One of those petitions was filed by 28-year-old woman Afrin Rahman. She got married in 2014 after finding a match through a matrimonial portal. She took her case to India's Supreme Court, demanding a ban on triple talaq or instant divorce. She had been married just 2 months, and after that, her in-laws started harassing her about her dowry.
मेरे जो हस्बैंड हैं उन्होंने मुझे लाइक मेंटली हैरेस करना शुरू कर दिया मेरे जो इन-लॉज हैं मेरी सास वगैरह और जो भी हैं घर में इन्होंने मुझे मेंटली हैरेस करना स्टार्ट कर दिया इस तरीके से कि हमारा बेटा एनएलयू से है एलएलएम कर रखा है पटियाला एनएलएम एनएलयू से और अगर कोई और दूसरा आता तो हमको इतनी डॉरी मिलती इतना कैश मिलता इतनी बड़ी कार मिलती
Afrin told Wings in Hindi language that her husband and her in-laws started mentally torturing her saying that her husband has a law degree and any other girl would have brought large cash dowry and a big car, but she brought nothing. Afrin's in-law sent her back to her parents' home and then she received a notice of divorce through speed post. Afrin said with triple talaq, Indian men exploit women.
Unki handwriting se, unhone do gawahon ke saath ye talaq mujhe bhej diya. डाइवोर्स में सबसे पहले उन्होंने मेरे पे बहुत से झूठे इल्जाम लगाए जो मैं आपको बता भी नहीं सकती हूँ मुझे शर्म आती है बताने में भी और जो एक मेन पार्ट है उसमें ये लिखा कि मैं तुम्हें सिर्फ 3 बार तलाक देता हूँ
She said that the letter was handwritten by her husband and was signed by 2 witnesses before pronouncing the divorce 3 times. Her husband leveled baseless allegations against her. Which she cannot even repeat in front of anyone. But she pointed out how can anyone divorce someone like this through speed post.
जो कि मुझे बिल्कुल गलत लगता है कि आप speed post के through तलाक किसी को कैसे दे सकते हैं?
The campaign against talaq received a boost when the present government opposed the practice. The government's counsel told the court on 2017 that the issue of validity of triple talaq needs to be considered in the light of principles of gender justice, non-discrimination, dignity and equality. But it is not easy to fight against the orthodox religious community. In 2007, the organization Bharatiya Muslim Mahila Andolan or BMMA started a debate on reforming the Muslim personal law that governs marriage and divorce in India. The BMMA claims that the All India Muslim Personal Law Board and the clergy have misinterpreted the Quran by allowing practices such as triple talaq and polygamy. The organization says instant oral triple talaq must end. Jakia Soman, the co-founder of BMMA, said over phone, it's difficult to change the law.
It has always been very difficult, you know, whenever any mention of reforms in personal law happens. They have been, you know, giving us threats, calling us all kinds of names, spreading stories about our personal lives on the social media, through WhatsApp and through, you know, all the campaigns on the social media. All that has happened. And what is most important is that we did not get scared by them. We continued on our mission, and in the end, the court has ruled in our favor. But even now, when the judgment of the Supreme Court has come in our favor, the biggest challenge is from, you know, those who have planted themselves as leaders of the Muslim community.
Although Supreme Court agreed that oral triple talaq must end, history shows it will be hard to get results. Only once before has the court ruled against a provision in the Muslim divorce law in the famous case of Shah Banu. Divorced by her husband in 1978, she was unable to support herself and her 5 children.
She asked for her maintenance after divorce, and it was given by the court. And the entire orthodoxy and patriarchal bodies stood up against her.
After the Supreme Court ruled that the divorced husband had a duty to provide maintenance, the Orthodox Muslim community pressured the ruling Congress Party to reverse the judgment. The Muslim Women Act of 1986 declared that Muslim women only had a right to maintenance for the period of 90 days or iddat period after the divorce.
So basically the challenge is from those who have planted themselves as leaders of the Muslim community, and their entirely patriarchal and conservative worldview. That is the biggest challenge, because they have decided, you know, what will happen to a woman in marriage, in spite of the fact that there is no triple talaq in the Quran.
According to Jakia Soman, Muslim patriarchal society has been spreading incorrect information. They claim that instant divorce by saying talaq 3 times is in the Quran.
They have spread this kind of a misinformation that triple talaq is religion and it cannot be changed. And whenever we say that, you know, we know how our Quranic rights, we know that, you know, the Quran does not have a mention of triple talaq, then they start saying that you are interfering in the religion. Who are you? You are women. You are not religious leaders. And then they start, blaming us for all kinds of imaginary things. So the challenge is to break their domination, this domination of patriarchal forces. Because they believe that women are inferior and men are superior. And they have, you know, misused religion to justify their domination and their patriarchy. Because the community, the Muslim community in India is, you know, poor, deprived educationally, economically, even socially. So there is a kind of a stranglehold that these elements have on the community.
A national survey conducted in 2015 by the BMMA found roughly 1 in 11 Muslim women were survivors of triple talaq, and that the vast majority received no alimony or compensation. Jakia Soman said the Muslim community in India is deprived educationally. So the BMMA organization started a campaign to spread the message about what is actually mentioned in the Quranic scriptures. And the organization has started classes about the Quran to teach the Muslims that there is no triple talaq, and when it is happening, it is actually the violation of Quranic imprecation. After triple talaq abolition campaign, thousands of Muslim women joined. Another co-founder of BMMA, Nurjehan Shafia Niaz, told Wings, the organization asked the government to initiate urgent measures towards reform in Muslim personal law and has proposed changes to the new draft law on the Muslim Family Code.
We are suggesting the Quranic method of divorce, which involves making arbitration mandatory. Custody of children is something which will be decided by the arbitrators, keeping in mind the best interest of the child and the consent and the wish of the child.
Nurjehan Safia Niaz was saying that her organization has suggested in the draft law to follow the Talaq-e-Ehsan method of divorce described in the Quran. Talaq-e-Ehsan means revocable divorce. The organization's draft of Indian Muslim family law also would invalidate polygamy and require a husband who divorces his wife to provide maintenance for her and their children, even if the wife has an independent source of income.
In addition, we are invalidating the practice of halala and mota marriage.
The BMMA also calls for making nikah halala a punishable offense. That is a traditional practice where a woman whose husband has divorced her 2 times cannot marry him again unless she has had a consummated marriage with another man. In 2017, the All India Personal Law Board specified that a couple should be able to remarry after 3 months separation without the wife having to marry anyone else. Nurjehan Safia Niaz told Wings, the BMMA organization has been working on the draft law for last 9 years.
We have suggested that the age of marriage of Muslim girl should be 18 and Muslim boy to be 21. Our draft is also invalidating polygamy, which is also prevalent here. And as far as inheritance is concerned, we are suggesting that the sons and daughters should get equal share in the parents' property. So these are some of the basic changes that we are suggesting. And we are basing these demands on the Quranic injunction. So whatever Quran has already mentioned as rights of women, it is based on that we are suggesting these changes, and also part of the larger constitutional values, as fundamental rights which are enshrined in the Indian constitution. Other Islamic countries are way ahead of us, and they have already implemented a lot of gender just reforms. Even our neighboring Bangladesh and Pakistan have much better laws than we have. So the challenge was how in a secular liberal democracy with such a wonderful constitution and those wonderful values, why have we not been able to look at Muslim women's issues as issues of human rights and gender injustice? And what the Quran says and what the Islamic values are, those need to reach Muslim women. They are also, they are part of the community. And they have all the right to access what God has already ordained. Also, the challenge was how do we make constitutional values accessible to Muslim women? Because she's also a citizen of this country. And she has all the rights over the fundamental rights which are enshrined in the constitution. So getting to work towards those values and getting to make the state realize that it is its constitutional responsibility to look at Muslim women's issues without politicizing it, without criminalizing it, and without miring it in political controversies, and just looking at it as an issue of pure gender justice.
On Wings, Kalpana Pradhan reports about Muslim divorce in India. In 2017, the Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional for men to divorce their wives instantly just by saying, writing, or texting the word talaq, meaning divorce, 3 times. But how that decision plays out in practice is still being explored. Organized Muslim women are also pushing for broader reform of all family law affecting them, arguing that it must be aligned with both the Constitution and the Quran.
We have faced a lot of resistance because the triple talaq that is being practiced in India, that is the arbitrary talaq, talaq-i-biddat, that is what they call it, which is not in the Quran. But the Muslims in this country feel that this is the ideal form of talaq. And during when the hearings were held, the Muslim Personal Law Board had to file affidavits. They had to defend this form of talaq. But the fact is, the entire problem stems from the fact that Muslim law, personal law, has not been codified in this country.
Chandri Alam is a senior Kolkata High Court advocate and also a social activist who is working for long for the rights of the Muslim woman in the state. She was saying how difficult for Muslim women to fight against divorce.
We have the 1937 Shariat Act, which says that all matters relating to marriage, divorce, inheritance, guardianship shall be guided by the Shariat. Right? So we don't have any law. Everything goes by the Shariat, which is a big problem for us. In the courts, when there's a case, we have to depend on the various interpretations of the Quran. But there is no definite law codified. And we have been fighting for codification of Muslim law. So this judgment, where victims of triple talaq had come to the Supreme Court praying that triple talaq be declared unconstitutional, Supreme Court, the majority judgment, has declared triple talaq is unconstitutional, and now they have accepted the requirement of framing a law, because triple talaq, actually, if we go by the Quranic form, it's a wonderful process, I should put it, because there is first the process of reconciliation between the two spouses who can't see eye to eye. If that fails, then the process of talaq starts. With each menstrual cycle, after each menstrual cycle of the girl, the husband can pronounce talaq once for 3 menstrual cycles, and then he pronounces talaq thrice. But during this period, if the spouses come together, then there is no talaq. So if we go by the religious text, then there is a lot of scope to come together, a lot of scope for reflection. But here it is just at the spur of the moment. I mean, the spouses sense nothing wrong, but just in the fit of the rage, he says talaq, 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 and it's all over. That is totally anti-Islamic, I would say. So this judgment has been very, I would say that it's an excellent judgment. Because we have been able to, at least the women's movement, we who were working with Muslim women, our stand has been vindicated, saying that the form of triple talaq that was practiced is actually not Islamic. I would say it's anti-Islamic. But it's a tragedy that the personal law board, the clergy, every person who earns, who dominates in the name of Islam, have been very, very disappointed by this judgment. And we have seen that whenever a question of personal law comes in, a question of change comes in, there is always a tremendous resistance from the section of society. I mean, it's something that we are habituated with, something that we are comfortable with, even if it's wrong, even at the cost of women who are suffering. The sufferings become, take a back seat, and it is not done. We don't do it that way. These practices dominate. So this judgment has been a huge impetus, I would say, that we can think differently. We have been given the license, we have been given the endorsement that go ahead.
Chandri Alam says that the Indian constitution protects gender equality, but on issues of marriage, divorce and inheritance, religious communities are governed by their own personal laws. Muslim women and activists have long been saying that Muslim personal law misinterprets the Quran and is misused by orthodox Muslim men to perpetuate patriarchy. She is pleased that the majority of the 5 High Court justices ruled that triple talaq or instant divorce by saying "I divorce you" 3 times is unconstitutional.
In India, there is a Dissolution of Muslim Marriages Act 1939, where a woman, when she wants to divorce, she has to file a suit in the court of law. Actually, suits are rarely filed because a suit is long processing, and it's very difficult for a girl to file a suit like that in isolation. It's not done. So in the draft, there was at one time in the early part of this millennium, there was this demand for delegating the power of divorce to give khula, so that the wife has the right to divorce, but until it is delegated, at the time of nanikanama, during a marriage, a woman apparently does not have the right. But during a marriage, nobody thinks of divorce at that point of time. So nothing is written at that point of time. A nikahnama usually contains very formal things. Even the dower that is given, dower is what should be ideally. The dower should be something which is beyond the capacity. He pays, what he pays is as a respect to the girl who is willing to bear his children, willing to observe iddat for him. So as a mark of respect, he pays the dower, which is a sum which should be beyond his means. And the Quran says that if it's a treasure trove, leave not an ounce, retain not an ounce. You have to give the entire to her. So one, you give one, then again if you think of contracting a second marriage, you have to keep another treasure trove ready. So this was actually the Quranic form of, today we are talking about monogamy in various religions. Quran had probably sowed the seeds of monogamy. Quran had put in a lot of hurdles for the man to get many innumerable wives. He had to pay one, the payment has to be complete, make arrangements for the other. So it's a tremendous financial burden. But now everything has become very loose. The payment comes in the form of what happens in the family.
Why not any religious leader come front to change the law? What do you think? Why not?
Well, Muslims have changed their laws in other countries. Like in Bangladesh and Pakistan, after the partition, there was a fact-finding on the plight of women, women who have been given talaq, how are they faring. But in our country, I would say that because Muslims belong to the minority community, the minority issue, I think, everywhere is you tend to cling to your old, you know, what you believe in, your customs, your habits. You don't want to change. Minority communities in other countries have had the same resistance. But here in India, now that the Supreme Court has passed it, you really don't have the scope. It has to stop somewhere. They are not willing to stop. So, you know, this is something that is their control over the community. And now the central government has to frame and codify it. So, you know, this is a wonderful achievement. It took us from Shabanu, that was 1985, to 2017 to reach this point. Shabanu judgment was there. The government saw to it that the judgment was negated. In 1986, the judgment was absolutely negated by the new law. Then we had to come up all this way. And now the Supreme Court, previously the Supreme Court used to say that we cannot legislate. It is for the parliament, it is for the people to realize when they are ready. But now the Supreme Court has said, I'm giving you time for 6 months, legislate. So this is a great change, this judgment.
Now, since the recent Supreme Court judgment, India has joined the list of several other countries like Pakistan, Indonesia, Bangladesh, etc., where triple talaq is considered un-Islamic and has been outlawed for years. Such criminal recourse ultimately closes all doors of possible reconciliation. Since the beginning of the issue, scholars, social activists, women activists have suggested that rather than criminalization, the legislature should have adopted the path of including it is an act of infliction of domestic violence under the ambit of the Domestic Violence Act 2005, wherein it could have been categorized as abuse, said Anuradha Kapoor, a social activist and director of NGO called Sayam. Sayam dealing with women issues, especially with Muslim women in Kolkata.
You have a right to divorce, but how you divorce is very important. You cannot just turn up one day and say through a message, talak, talak, talak. That even if you say it, it's not divorce. So you can say it, but it actually has no meaning. In the law today, it still does not have any meaning. If a man says talak, 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 his wife is not divorced, according to law today. Because the Supreme Court has declared it unconstitutional.
After the Supreme Court judgment.
Yes, it isn't. So if somebody says by phone, talak, 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 you can laugh and say, hey, I'm not divorced. Because you're not. What we have to make clear is people need to understand what the implication of the judgment is. The implication of the judgment is that anybody who says this has to know that it is not binding in law. divorce is something everybody has a right to divorce. Whether it's a woman or a man, they have a right to divorce. What we're talking about is how you can divorce. You cannot just say talak, talak, talak and say this is the end. There has to be a process through which you go before a talak can be finalized. Like if I want to, in a Hindu woman's case, if she wants to, if a man wants to divorce her, he has to go through a process. The same way, the Muslim man also has to go through a process. And so what that process will be needs to be put down in the law. But it does not mean if a man says talak, 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 according to law today now, after the Supreme Court judgment, that he has said talak does not mean that the woman is divorced. And women, when they divorce, what do they want? They want to make sure that their rights are protected, which is right to maintenance, right to residence, right to custody of children and so on. If a man goes into jail, how is he going to maintain his family? The man is in jail, but the woman and the children also have nothing to fall back on because he's in jail. So you are jeopardizing a woman, her future, her life, by putting him behind bars and making something that is an issue of civil nature into one of criminal. If you look at it like this, a lot of Hindu men also just walk out on their wives. They dump them, they don't divorce them, they go get married or start living with another woman, and they do nothing for these people. So is that action also to be criminalized then? I might not have said talak, 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 but I've just gone off and I've started staying with another woman, right? Or I've just walked off, not staying with another woman, I've just walked off and deserted my children and my wife and I'm doing nothing about it. Then what will I say? Then that is also a criminal act. Then we're going to put all of these men behind bars. Why are we making this distinction between Hindu and Muslim men? It's an issue of civil nature. So we are talking about how should a Muslim woman be divorced. Let us put that into the bill, not penalizing a man. Our focus ought to be, how do we protect women's rights in such cases? Not how do we penalize the men. It is how the men should be held accountable to make sure that women's rights are not compromised.
India is a home to 172 million Muslims, which is 14% of the total population. They are the third largest population of Muslims of any country in the world. They are governed by the Muslim Personal Law or Shariat Law. According to an act passed in 1937, the personal law is interpreted by the All India Personal Law Board. The board members oppose interference in the divine law from governments and policymakers who have in the past attempted to regulate it. Women activists are saying this has resulted in India's 90 million Muslim women remaining vulnerable to the threat of sudden, oral, and out-of-court divorce. They are saying one civil court for the entire country would go a long way toward improving the condition of Indian women, especially the Muslim women who are exploited and subjugated due to misogynistic social norms. Kalpana Pradhan for Wings, Kolkata, India.
To hear Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org. You can also check wingsradio.org and facebook.com/wingsradio. Many thanks to our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, editor of the book Women and the Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.